Hello out there, it's Gary Long and Gigi's Boo with Top 10 Countdown. We're now in the 50s, Gigi's Boo. What do you think about that?
We love it.
Is that all you think about that?
No, I think it's a lot of fun. I think the 50s were a lot of fun.
Yeah, baby. The 50s. You know, like the Fonz. Remember the Fonz, right? He was modeled. He was modeled after the 50s.
Yeah. He was, but... I think the 50s was really kind of the beginning of the fun. That was the last decade of fun. Then in the 60s, it got a little crazy.
Got a little bit crazy, yeah. Got crazy in the 60s. I want to say hello to all the folks over at Real Liberty Media and Discord. Hey, everybody, Wild Island Cat, and we got all kinds of folks. Boom for Truth listening in today. Suspect Sky himself is here. And over in Real Liberty Media, oh my goodness, we hope it's a whole boatload of greasers. What do you think, Jesus, boo?
Yeah, we greasers.
Yeah, man. Okay, well, I want to let you know the Top 10 Countdown is brought to you by Fractal Frog. Fractal Frog. You know what that is, Gigi's Boo?
Yes.
You do? Well, Fractal Frog happens to be a time-saving solution and counterattack against censorship. These things that challenge all content creators. Fractal Frog can manage videos and libraries across all your platforms, can upload videos to multiple platforms simultaneously, can back up all your content into archives so it can never be destroyed, unlike people who leave it all on YouTube and then one day it's gone. And also will sync multiple videos or an entire platform all across your libraries. You do it all in one shot. Fractal Frog now has a fundraiser going on a Kickstarter. Got about 2 weeks left to go on that. So if you know anyone who might be interested, have them stop by, take a look. All you have to do is look. If you like it, well, help it out. Okay, that's enough for that. for the advertising. What do you think, boo-boo?
That's enough.
That's what happened. Yeah, that's enough. That's what you do when you don't have a script. Okay. Well, let's talk about the top 10 of 1950. How many people remember that? I don't personally. I almost do. We'll talk about that on another show. But the number 10 song from 1950 was one done by Sammy Kaye. And we've heard that name before on previous shows. A lot of these people crossing over into the new decade. It Isn't Fair.
Sing this beautiful song. Here is Don Cornell.
It isn't fair for you to taunt me. How can you make me care this way? If it's just for a day, it isn't fair for you to thrill me. Why do you do the things you do? It isn't fair for you to fill me with those dreams that can't come true, dear. Why is it you came into my life and made it just a taste of high life. If this is love, then I repeat, it isn't fair for you to taunt me. How can you make me care this way? It isn't fair for you to want me if it's just for today. My darling, it is.
Yeah, It Isn't Fair, a popular song, was originally written by Richard Himber, Frank Warsauer, and Sylvester Sprigato, and published in 1933, Gigi's Boo. That song was around for a long time before Don.
Well, he had a beautiful voice, too.
Oh, absolutely. Don Cornell and the Sammy Kay Orchestra, they reprised it in 1950, which was released on RCA Victor. And it reached Billboard's bestseller chart on February 3rd, 1950, and lasted 22 weeks on the chart, peaking at number 3. That's pretty impressive. And you're right about that voice. Woo-ha! Over in the chat, we have people excited about the 50s. Reminds Boom for Truth of roller skating. And Wild Island Cat says it's poodle skirt time. Jesus, what is a poodle skirt anyway?
It's a round skirt, what they call a round skirt.
Round skirt.
Really, and a lot of flair to it. They just had a great big piece of felt.
I got you.
And a set of poodle on the front. And the all the girls wore them in the 50s.
I got you. Yeah.
They come back a little bit in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of have visions of the girls with their hair cut kind of short and curled over the shoulder. Does that sound right?
Not really. Most girls in the 50s wore their hair up in a ponytail.
Okay, ponytails. Bobby socks.
And the 60s was long hair, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the later 60s, the latter part of the 60s, a lot of the girls were cutting their hair short.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it took to the 60s, to the wild stage, before the girls really cut their hair off.
Well, now, you know. Things can get kind of wild, especially over here at a Top 10 Countdown with Gary L. and Gigi's Boo. Simulcasting, reallibertymedia.com, that's RLM Radio, and over at the Discord chat with the Suspect Sky group, all happy campers on that side. We're happy that everyone is here. And on that note, let's see what number 9 was all about. What is number 9? How about Harbor Lights? You know that song, Gigi?
Oh, God, I love that song.
Isn't that a nice one? It's Sammy Kay again, and Tony Alamo, and the Kayette song vocal.
I was on the ship and you were on the shore. Now I know lonely nights, for all the while my heart is whispering, some other harbor lights will steal your love.
Boy, Gigi's Boo, the chat room for popping on that song. Harbor Lights, originally.
Yeah.
Originally, another one. Written in 1937 and was originally recorded by Roy Fox and his orchestra with a vocal by Barry Gray in London.
You know who recorded it the best?
Who's that?
The Platters.
Yep, they probably did. Yeah, it was interesting. That's kind of an international song because the music was by Hugh Williams, who actually, that was a pseudonym. He was an Austrian composer by the name of Will Grositz. And the lyrics were by a Northern Irish songwriter, Jimmy Kennedy. Isn't that interesting? That has quite a history to that song. And obviously, as you heard, the melody was done in a Hawaiian style, but that was 18 years before Hawaii became a state. Other versions included ukuleles and steel guitars.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, Gigi? And okay, let's see now what we have going on. The top news stories from 1950, and believe it or not, there isn't a whole lot to report. Now, 1950 had significant events, but not a whole lot of different events. Of course, the Korean War began when North Korea invaded the South, which resulted in the United Nations launching, I guess, a multinational counterattack, driving the North Koreans back across the DMZ, as so-called today. And British atomic physicist Klaus Fuchs was convicted of spying for the Soviet Union. That was regarding, of course, nuclear or atomic secrets at the time. Truman ordered the development of the hydrogen bomb. Did you know that there was an assassination attempt against President Truman on November 1st by Puerto Rican nationalists? How interesting. But that's about the extent of those news events. And we'll come back to other things after the next song. So, Gigi's Boo, tell me what you thought about the harmony in that Harbor Lights.
That took a lot of practice, a lot of time from people who had the natural ability to sing instead of having it digitally mastered.
Mm-hmm.
Music was music.
Yeah. Over in the Discord chat, they were posting all kinds of pictures. They have pictures of the poodle skirts and people dressed with the
hat. That'd be great to see.
On. Yeah, no, we'll post these pictures in the video that will be up on BitChute once this is completed. Yeah, 1950 fashion. That was something else like it. And Boom for Truth noted that there's nothing like the harmony that they had back then, so sweet and tender. Wild Island Cat states that she used to sew her own dresses. Now, Gigi's Boo, you can do that, right?
Yeah, I sew many, many things. Poor Gary's been in the middle of doing something. I'll say, write this down right quick. Something come into my mind, and he'll have to write my idea down. I sew not just clothes, but other things, too.
That's right. Okay, number eight. Number eight's a fun song. And something, if you've ever heard of Red Foley, this was his signature song.
Have you ever passed the corner of 4th and Grand, where a little ball of rhythm has a shoeshine stand? People gather round and they clap their hands. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoeshine boy. He charges you a nickel just to shine one shoe. He makes the oldest kind of leather look like new.
You feel as though you want to dance when he gets through. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops the boogie woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoe shine boy. It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. You ought to see him fan the air with his hoppity hibbity hibbity hoppity hoppity hibbity hop. He opens up a business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get 'em early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoe shine boy. And listen, let him go. Don't that tickle you? It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. Just listen to him fan the air. Here goes. He opens up for business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get 'em early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoe shine boy. Chattanooga
Shoe Shine Boy. Oh, yeah. The Chattanooga Shoe Shine Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
Red Foley, mm-hmm, is the father-in-law of Pat Boone.
Is that right? I didn't know that. How cool is that? And I bet you that's a song that Grim Near really liked. I just kind of got a feeling that's a Grim Near song. Grim Near, by the way, is the webmaster and chief cook and bottle washer of Real Liberty Media and RLM Radio. So thanks so much to those folks for giving us the opportunity to actually be able to do live streaming. And certainly thanks over to the Discord site at Suspect Sky that is pretty much exclusively accessible by patron members. And we thank them so much for what they offer, and it gives us the ability to continue to do the things that we do. So coming up next, number 7, but we're going to skip. And here's the reason why, because number 7 and number 3 are both the same songs, and it's the Third Man theme, right? Guy Lombardo did the number 7 version, but we will have to opt for the original, which was number 3, and we'll get to that as we move along. So we'll move into number 6, and I think most people will know this one.
Music.
Yeah, did you notice the falsetto quality of her voice at times, Gigi's Boo? Teresa.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Teresa Brewer, that falsetto, that rapid vibrato that she has in her voice. And that was kind of a thing back in the early days, and later on, Tiny Tim, of all people, brought that back into popularity. The first recording of this particular song was Etienne Paré with Eddie Piano Miller. It was released in 1949. But mm-hmm. the biggest seller was the one you just heard, Teresa Brewer and the Dixieland All-Stars. And actually, 20 December 1949 was released the day after Christmas. And let's see, it was a controversial song with regard to a lot of radio stations of the time. And many refused to play the record because of the thought that the lyric, "I do anything for you, anything you'd want me to," might be construed as indecent. My, how times change.
Oh, please.
Right. Times do change, don't they, Boo-Boo Bear? That's pretty interesting. Okay, our first contest of the night. And who's ready for this one, Gigi's Boo? Who won the 1950 World Series? Anybody know who won the 1950 World Series? And I'll give us a little few minutes for anybody to respond. Anybody have any thoughts about who won? If you
watch,
if you watch,
Franz said the Mets.
If Grimnir got it. What do you know?
Yankees. And, okay.
Again, after last week, well, we have to give him a round. What do you think?
Winner.
Yeah, Grimnir. He brought that one right out. The Yankees. The Yankees brought that one home again, or 2 years in a row, by defeating the Philadelphia Phillies. They swept them. 4-9, and the last game was a 10-inning nail-biter. So, there you are, the New York Yankees, 1950 World Series champions. The next two songs, back-to-back, same artists, interestingly. Number 5, Play a Simple Melody, and number 4, Sam's Song.
To play some simple melody like my mother sang to me, one with a good old-fashioned harmony. Play some simple melody.
Musical demon, set your honey a dreamin', won't you play me some rag? Just change that classical nag to some sweet, beautiful drag. If you will play from a copy of a tune that is choppy, you get all my applause. And that is simply because I want to listen to rag. Musical demon, set your honey a dream, and won't you play me some rag? Just change that classical
like my mother
to some sweet,
to
beautiful drag. If you will play
one
from a copy of a
good
tune that is choppy, you get all my applause.
Harmony.
And that is
play
because
some simple
I want to
melody
listen to rag.
Whoa.
demon, set your honey a dreamin', won't you play me some rags?
Steady,
steady, steady, like
my mother sang to me,
beautiful drag. You will play from a copy of the United Charter, you get all my applause.
Don't lose your head.
That is simply
play
because
some simple melody.
Play from a copy of the tune that is choppy. You get all of my applause because I want a ragged ragtime melody.
Here's a happy tune you'll love to croon. They call it Samson. It's catchy as can be, the melody. They call it Samson. Nothing on your mind, and then you find you're humming Samson. Why, it makes you grin, gets under your skin, as only a song can do. The people that you meet out on the street, all whistling Sam's song. Everyone you see will soon agree that it's a grand song. So forget your troubles and wear a smile. You'll find you'll never go wrong if you learn to croon this happy tune. They call it Samson.
And now another treatment, this classic American theme, brought to you by Mr. Gary Crosby.
Here's a happy tune
that'll bring you a smile all the while. When you croon it, you're really in style.
And the title is Samson. It's catchy as can be,
with a sly little beat, and the melody sweet keeps you tapping your feet.
And the title is Samson. Nothing on your mind
but the news of the day and the bills you must pay. Keep your hair turning gray, but you're still humming Samson.
Are you all right? How's your brace?
Why, it makes you grin, gets under your skin, as only a song can do.
Oh, the people that you meet.
Hello, Joe, what you know, and remind me to mow. Tell them business is slow, but I'm
whistling Sam's song. Everyone you see
has a story to tell or a gimmick to sell, but agree that it's swell and it's really a grand song.
So forget your troubles and wear a smile. You'll find you'll never go wrong if you learn to croon
like a lark in the park, who is making his mark, serenading the dark with a chorus of Samson.
If you learn to croon the happy tune, they call it Samson.
Gary and Bing Crosby, son and dad, singing Samson, and prior to that, Simple Melody. Now, yeah, some of the comments over in the Discord chat were that they didn't know that Gary Crosby was Bing Crosby's son, or didn't know that that was him singing. And yeah, that, of course, that's pretty good, because, I mean, you kind of have to be on top of your game to have a handle on all that type of detail, because I certainly didn't know it before doing the research for the show. And speaking of which, Jesus, what did you think about those two songs?
I really like them. I like the softness, even though it had an upbeat tempo. I really thought it was really great.
Yes.
There's a story behind Bing and his son. He married the first time, and he was extremely, extremely, I won't say cruel, and I won't say he was abusive, but he made their life a hell with his first children. But his second children that he had, but the last wife, was a lot better. But those older boys, some of them held a grudge against him.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny you say that, because I kind of, when I was going through some of the pictures, trying to find pictures for the video, I noticed the body language between Bing and Gary was a little strained. And the other thing I noticed, that you don't see a lot of pictures, or I couldn't find a lot of pictures of them posed together. So that, you know, that's unfortunate, but, you know, that's the history. You have to look at the bitter and the sweet, as they say. Okay, Gigi.
Hey,
go ahead.
They said they really did not know the whole truth of why he wasn't pleased with his older children.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been that, you know, he had them younger, and then he had his other children later in life, and things are better. I don't know. You just never know.
You never know, do you?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, you know what time it is, Boo Boo Bear.
What time is it?
It's time for the next contest. Okay. Who can tell us who won the Stanley Cup in 1950? Who can tell us that? And we'll watch the chat room to see. And I'll give you a hint. It was not Toronto, unlike the other years. Ooh, Moose Girl, nice try. Nice try.
You got the New York Islanders, Boston.
Not quite.
Boston Bruins.
Not quite. Oh, no, Jesus. Detroit Red Wings. Yeah.
Detroit. Okay.
That was actually a Stanley Cup playoff with two American or United States teams. Yeah, yeah. Detroit defeated the New York Rangers for the Stanley Cup of 1950. Well, you know, sorry about that, my Canadian friends. They didn't quite pull it down. Whoa. Over here in the chat, Wild Island Cat actually had answered, I believe. Did you answer that before the end of the... For the end of the time? I don't know if she did or not, but she did say Detroit, and she was absolutely on target. Good job over there. Oh, she did answer before the time. Well, heck, in that case, Gigi's Boo, you know what we have to do with that, right?
Of course.
Yeah, let's pull it up. Here it is.
Winner.
Wild Island Cat successfully answers the question. Good job. Yeah, you got to have fun with this. You know, we're trying to add a few things as we go along to have some fun. And let's see. What's up next, Gigi's Boo? What time? How are we doing on time here? Yeah, we're doing pretty good. Pretty good on time. Let's go ahead and move on to this number three song. This is the one that tied with Guy Lombardi, I believe, at number seven. But since this was the original of the song, we felt it probably most appropriate.
Thank you.
Yeah, the third man theme. How interesting. How many people have heard that? I know I have. I heard it a lot. That was done by Anton Karas, and there's quite an interesting story behind the song. It's the reason why it bumped off, not only bumped it from the number seven song, but also it was selected to be the representative song. If The Third Man was actually a movie in 1949 by the same name. It was a British film noir directed by Carol Reed. And how this gets interesting is that one night after a long day of filming The Third Man on location in Vienna, Austria, Reed and cast members Joseph Cotten, Aida Valli, and Orson Welles had dinner and retired to a wine cellar in this bistro, which retained the atmosphere of the pre-war days, they heard the zither music of Anton Karas, a 40-year-old musician who was playing there just for tips. Reed immediately realized that this was the music he wanted for his film. Karas spoke only German, which no one in Reed's party spoke, but customers jumped in to help translate the offer, which he accepted. He wasn't real hot about the idea because he had to travel to England to do it, but he finally did accept the offer, and he wrote and recorded the 40 minutes of music heard in the Third Man movie, and he did that over a six-week period. That's pretty fantastic, I think. It's quite a success story, actually, Gigi Boo. What do you think?
Yes, I think so, too. Yeah. Just to walk in, you know, and hear it, I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, how many times do you think that ever happens? Somebody's just discovered on the spot like that, and then it becomes a number three hit of the year 1950, just a year after the movie, or contemporaneously with the movie's viewings, I guess. That's pretty fantastic. Yeah, let's see, anything going on in the chat room? I don't see any third men in the chat room. So, all right. Well, I think Gigi's Boo, what's next on the hit parade here, I guess you'd say? I think it might be time for the final Jeopardy question. What do you think, Gigi's Boo?
Go ahead.
I don't know how many people are going to know this. This is like one of those really obscure things. Here we go. Who won the 1950 Kentucky Derby? Do we have any answers?
I don't see nothing.
I don't know what happened, Boo-Boo Bear. Nobody had the answer.
No, but I'm not seeing any chatter at all. Well, I wonder if we've been kicked out of the...
I don't know. We're there. No, the winner of the 1950 Kentucky Derby was Middle Ground, a horse by the name of Middle Ground. And, oh, well, we'll just have to keep all the money and the prize behind door number three for next week's show. What do you think? We can do that, can't we, Gigi?
I reckon.
All right, now we're going to move along now to number two. And this guy gets around from year to year. And, you know, there's really no point in even introducing this because everyone's going to know it.
Men have named you. You're so like the lady with a mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you for that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this chase your way to hide a broken heart. Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you cold and lonely, lovely work of art, Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa, Nat King Cole. How can you beat that? You can't. But hold the presses. The Discord team has thrown a red flag on that last question. And we seem to actually have a winner. And we have a dog that's raising Cain downstairs. Please overlook that. It seems that Boom for Truth actually did answer the question prior to the buzzer.
Winner.
Okay, so she won all the money in the world and prize behind door number 3, and have to go see the tax man just off stage as you collect your prize. All right, Gigi's Boo, what did you think about Nat King Cole there?
Nat King Cole has one of the smoothest voices I've ever heard, but so has Ben Crosby and Dean Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three of my favorites. It's like Beatle said, the painter is painting himself as a chick, and I have to agree with him because I'm telling you, If everybody thinks she's the most beautiful woman in the world, they don't have no taste.
All their taste.
That's an ugly woman in my book, and I don't usually say things like that, but I don't know where they get the most beautiful woman in the world.
All their taste is in their mouths. That's how they say it. Okay. Well, we've come to that time when right before the last song, the number one song, we reach into the hat and pull out a song that's a little bit deeper in the chart. So, will Vanna Boo Boo please spin the wheel? Okay, number 18, the Tennessee Waltz, Patti Page.
Dancing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz, when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced her to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee
Page, number 18, Tennessee Waltz. You know, that was a popular country song that Red Stewart and Pee Wee King wrote in 1946 and first released in January 1948. But it became a multi-million-dollar seller based on that last recording you heard with Patti Page.
As I tell you, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
As of 1974, it was the biggest selling song ever in Japan. What do you think about that, Gigi Boo?
That doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't surprise me either.
I think every high school kid, probably up until the 90s, at the prom, danced to the Tennessee Waltz.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, probably.
It was one of those classics that you could slow dance with your girl and hold her close.
Yep, sure enough, Gigi's Boo. Absolutely. Let me check the chat here real fast to see. Okay. Live is fun. Now get back to work and listen quietly. Okay. And okay. Say, you know. All right. Well, Gigi's Boo, it's about time for us to head out. Then I hear a bunch of noise outside. Of course. But anyway. We'll go out of here with the most appropriate number one song that was done by Gordon Jenkins and the Weavers. And you'll probably recognize this song as we go out. And I guess Gigi Boo and I are going to say good night, Irene, to everyone.
Yes.
Right,
good
Gigi?
Good night, everyone.
Yeah. And join us here next week on Top 10 Countdown with Gary L. and Gigi Boo. Bye-bye.
Irene, good night. Irene, good night. Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. I'll see you in my dreams. Saturday night I got married. Me and my wife settled down. Now me and my wife are parted.
I'm gonna take another stroll downtown.
Irene, good night. Irene, good night. Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. I'll see you in my dreams.
Sometimes I live in the country. Sometimes I
stop your gambling, stop staying out late at night. Go home to your wife and family, stay there by your fireside bright.